She is a Minneapolis native, one of us, so that's what's most important. But I am a huge fan of Rebecca Jarvis, ABC News' chief business, technology, and economics correspondent, who is with us in studio. It's so good to see you.
It's so great to see you, Jason. I'm so glad you reached out.
It's been a couple years since you were in town for like a Minnesota SPJ event, I think, that we're at the same table.
Yes, I'm frequently back in Minnesota to see my family. All of my cousins live here. My in-laws are here, so I get back. But most of the time, they're unfortunately short, quick, consolidated trips. But I always feel good when I'm back in Minnesota.
Now, I did see you posted this morning your live report for GMA where...
We were next to De La Salle and the
train... It was just a generic backdrop, right? Like, it had nothing to do with the story.
Well, part of the story... There were two stories we covered this morning. There was Claire's filing for bankruptcy, which happened, so we ended up covering the story. But we were here already for another story we could talk about, but... Of course, the air quality alert came up, and given that sports are impacted by this and outdoor activities, we wanted to be near a football field, and that's how we ended up there. But we also happened to be near a train.
That's right. Yeah.
If you watch the show, you know why I say that.
That's how it goes sometimes.
The train showed up the minute. Truly, it was complete silence. And you know, we do these things kind of in the middle of the night because GMA is live on the West Coast and then, GMA is live on the East Coast and then we're here in the Midwest. So it was complete silence. But of course, a train went by the minute I began speaking.
That's how that goes.
Of
now,
course.
You are in town for a story about a nonprofit, kind of a cool story that'll be on GMA tomorrow morning. Right?
Yes.
Right here on Channel 5 here in the Twin Cities.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah, I'm really excited about this story. It's a story about a nonprofit called the Green Garden Brick Bakery. It was started by young people about a decade ago in North Minneapolis. They grow vegetables and then make those vegetables into treats, sell the desserts, and then they split the proceeds between each other. They're investing in their future. They're putting it in their retirement savings accounts, but then there's also the investment back in the business, and a third goes to other charities that the young people choose. So it's really a win-win across the board.
How did you find out about them, or how did you get the bosses to be like, yes, let's go do this? Really,
It's an investing.
It's a feel good story.
It's a feel good story, and I'm really, my producer Taylor Dunn is here with me as well on this trip, and we are always looking.
If you're watching on the YouTube stream, you can see Taylor sitting on the floor. Like that is.
I love that it's a wide enough shot to see her on the floor.
That's
She's
how
hiding.
This is. You know, producer life. Like you dream. Of working at the network, and now you're sitting on the floor in a garbage radio
studio. I have a rule. She always has to be a little bit lower than I am. No, I'm totally kidding.
You're not
Taylor
very tall.
Taylor Dunn is an amazing producer, and I say that as a joke. She knows how important she is to the whole operation. And her dog, Shayna, frequently joins us on our shoots in New York as well. She doesn't travel. We don't have budget for that. But but we found this story because, first of all, I'm always looking for Minnesota stories. I'm so attached to this place, and I love the people, and I love looking at how Minnesota is doing things smarter, better, differently than the rest of the country. And I'm always in awe of the spirit that takes place here. And also because I cover business and I'm looking for entrepreneurial stuff. I'm looking for things where young people are investing in their community and their future and becoming the solution. I think, you know, when I was a young person growing up here in Minnesota, I worked with a group called the Minnesota Alliance with Youth. And it was always so important to me that young people could be a part of the solution and not just the problem. And I really love that these young people who started Green Garden Bakery saw themselves in that way and put their time where their mouth was. And that's what they've done. They've built this.
So that'll be tomorrow.
On Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
Channel
Excellent.
5.
Very good. All right. We've done our job. We did the promotion. That's how this goes.
Thanks, Jason.
Rebecca Jarvis is with us. She's the chief business, technology, and economics? Economy?
Yes. You can say yes.
Econ?
It's a long title.
Why is your title so long?
Well, I just add another domain of
expertise. That's how it works.
Instead
of a raise, they give you another chunk to your title.
ABC News has been a wonderful place to work for. In fact, I've now spent almost 13 years at ABC News. I started when I was 12. It's been the longest run I've had at any place, and it's been a wonderful, truly wonderful place to work for that time.
We just hit, I think, the anniversary. We were talking about this last week on the show, the anniversary of Peter Jennings passing.
That's right.
And when I was in college, I interned at ABC.
Yes.
And interned, the highlight of my summer was that Peter Jennings knew my name. But it led to a conversation about really, you know, the changing role of national network news in our lives. And just in your 13 years, so much has changed, right?
So much has changed. And I think the advent of social media, the way people consume news, the way people get their news, ABC News has really focused on all of that by developing so many different options for people. We have now a new streaming program on Disney Plus in the mornings called What You Need to Know. My friends and colleagues Rachel Scott and James Longman anchor that on Disney Plus. You can get it anytime, but it comes out early in the morning. Obviously, there's Good Morning America and World News Tonight and Nightline and 2020 and This Week with George Stephanopoulos. All the things people know,
right.
But there's so many more ways people can connect with us, can connect with the content and the news that we are working to deliver every day.
I mean, because obviously your podcast on Elizabeth Holmes was incredible and incredibly successful also.
Thank you. Because
it's different. We both grew up wanting to do sort of traditional journalism. We had no idea what all of the things, how much everything was going to change.
Yeah.
But you seem to adapt. You dig it, I think.
Well, I love it because I think there's, as an entrepreneurial person myself, where I'm always sort of trying to envision what the next thing might be and how I can participate in that. It's been a real avenue for me to do the kind of work I desperately want to do in new ways. And like you mentioned, The Dropout, that was really the first major narrative podcast that ABC News produced. And Taylor Dunn, my excellent producer, and Victoria Thompson, who's not here, the three of us just kind of set out with a blank canvas and were able to report that story out and tell the story in the way we wanted to tell it as a podcast. And I think that's the beauty of these new/old mediums. Obviously, you can be listening to the radio right now and you're like, well, I've been listening to quote-unquote podcasts forever.
Yes, 100 years has been that sort
exactly.
of storytelling.
But it does, I think, as a journalist, and oftentimes young journalists ask me or aspiring journalists ask me what they can do. And I think while there is just more, and that can be harder to break through, it also gives a creative, thoughtful, entrepreneurial person the opportunity to build something like you have here, to build a conversation, to build in a new medium, and to do it without any necessarily rules. Although I would say I would adhere to the traditional rules of fact-checking journalism, second sourcing everything, knowing, you know, I cover the economy, so numbers are incredibly important. And from day one, again, Taylor, I'm sure can appreciate this, from day one, it's mattered so much to me to make sure that the facts are right.
Well, you came by that honestly.
My mom, right. Gail Marks Jarvis, Pioneer Press here in Minnesota. I grew up with my mom impressing upon me how important that was, and it was impressed on me when she was in the job before I even said I was interested in pursuing the same path.
As someone in communications and radio now, but journalism, like, my fear is that my kids would want to go into it.
I understand that fear. Get it.
I don't know.
It just looks but the way you do it, if you could just make it look a little less, you could do it a little less, in a little less enjoyable way, then maybe they wouldn't want to do it. But you just make it look too fun.
It looks too fun. Yes, they don't realize. When you put on your business and economy correspondent role and you look at network news or local news, it is, you know, I think the appetite for this is still tremendous, but the business model is it's a challenge.
It's a changing landscape for sure, because people can get their information, and they are getting their information from so many different places. If you think about it, there's this pie, and the pie used to be split among a handful of players, and now the players are endless, and there are new entrants every single day.
Which is cool and also horrifying.
Right. It's, of course, there's definitely pros and cons to the whole thing.
Rebecca Jarvis is with us. You know, when you look at the Minnesota scene, we have been the epicenter of a number of business stories around the country. Unfortunately, certainly with United Health Group.
Oh, yeah.
And that just sort of assassination, I think, is really how I think about it. And then... you know, right now we're looking at Target, which is a huge Fortune 500 company. And there's been a ton of reporting here locally about, all right, what's going on? What is the future of this company? It's very important locally, of course, as you know, because so many, if you live in Minnesota, you know someone who works at Target.
Absolutely.
It's just reality.
And Minnesota is a major place for Fortune 500 companies. Target, General Mills, Best Buy. I did an internship at Best Buy many, many summers ago. Yes, I did. I think it's funny. People will say, well, how's the traffic in New York? How does it compare to the traffic in Minnesota? And I'll say, well, if you're trying to get on 394 during rush hour traffic between Northeast Minneapolis and Eden Prairie, good luck.
Yeah, that is, I'll take
that's
the subway.
Why you bike. That's why you're on a bike, Jason.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. When you look at, you know, and not necessarily Minnesota, but when you look out there in the sphere that you cover, are there characters that you think, you know, leaders or up and coming people where you think, okay, we should keep an eye on these folks. These are the most interesting people or the more fascinating people that cross your mind.
I will say for me, in this particular moment, it's not a single person that I'm focused on, but I am heavily focused on artificial intelligence and how that is reshaping both businesses, our economy, our lives, our day-to-day. And I think we've only just scratched the surface there. I did an interview with the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, almost 2 years ago now when GPT-4 was released. Well, they've just released GPT-5. It's faster. He describes it. I was on a call with him last week, an ABC News journalist, and he described it as PhD level in terms of the kind of interactions you can have with it. And that is reshaping everything from healthcare to writing to coding and something. I mean, even just this idea 10 years ago, it seemed like if you told somebody what to study in college that was a sure bet to success, coding was it.
Yeah.
And now you have machines.
Everyone getting laid off, the response was like, well, learn to code. You'll make a six-figure salary.
Right. And now you have machines that can do it faster than any human being can.
You're talking to the dad of a NYU junior majoring in computer science. I'm glad he has two more years so he can really learn more about AI and that programming before he has to find a job.
And I think college students will continue, no matter what their domain expertise is, they'll continue to learn AI. And I think my advice to people, because people are frequently saying, well, what should I do? It is, I understand the fears. And there are, I mean, there's like the existential side of it, but you have to get comfortable at least with understanding what the technology can do. And it can, of course, I don't mean to diminish what some of the big questions are. They absolutely are there, but it can also help do certain fundamental tasks in your day-to-day and make it faster and easier. GPT-5 can interact with your Google Calendar, for example, and it can tell you, oh, it makes sense to do this at this time. And it, in some ways, operates like an assistant in your pocket. It can help you respond to emails and write.
Plan a vacation.
Last summer, my whole summer vacation, my family's vacation to Savannah, Georgia, was planned because of ChatGPT. We did the whole thing there.
Did you do a story on it then?
I didn't do a story.
Oh, that'd be a good story.
I know. We could have wrote off the vacation.
Imagine living your life and not turning it into content.
That's right.
I'm proud of you, Rebecca.
But it's true. That's the other. But I do think your point leans into something else, which is there are two critical things, I believe, at this moment. First of all, critical thinking is imperative, and we cannot allow ourselves to become complacent about that. We have to understand how things work. And in some ways, in the way I liken it, I did a fifth grade project here in Minnesota on Pablo Picasso. And one of the things that stood out to me from that project, and it has stayed with me ever since, is that he didn't start with cubism. Cubism is the, you know, those are the Guernica and the things that we sort of remember about him. But he started like a set of training wheels, painting things true to life before he started mixing it all up. And I think in that same way, to me, it's very, very important for our thinking to continue, for us to learn the basics of things. You have to know that 2 + 2 = 4, even though a machine can tell you that 2 + 2 = 4, and you have to understand why and how that works. And I spend a lot of time with my daughter's 6 right now. My son is 20 months, and we're not quite there yet. But even with my daughter, I try to really reinforce that kind of thing with her.
That's cool. Rebecca Jarvis, I know you have to go, but before you go, I learned today watching you on Channel 5 that you were a croissant fanatic. I did not know this about you.
I'm glad that Google did not unveil that reality, and I was able to share it with the Minnesota Live team, Megan and Chris. They were great to chat with today. Yeah, I love croissants. I have favorite spots in New York.
Right.
I don't have favorite spots here in Minnesota. Yeah. Do you have spots?
Well, I gave you 2. Okay. I said Black Walnut Bakery.
Yes.
And Diane's Place in Northeast Minneapolis.
And those Northeast is excellent. Where I grew up, so I got to get back there.
Diane's Place, and she was just featured in the New York Times for this sort of creation, really, of Hmong fine dining type cuisine in Minnesota. So
outstanding.
She's a great one. Two great women who are awesome croissant makers.
Okay.
Awesome laminators, as they call it in the baking world.
That's so great. Yeah.
Awesome to have you here.
Thank you, Jason.
We'll all be watching Channel 5 tomorrow morning for GMA.
Thank you.
To see your story here. Thanks, Rebecca.
Next time we eat croissants.
Let's do it. Next time I'm in New York, you can take me to your favorite croissant place.
Perfect.